If you would, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We will begin in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love toward us. The last phrase, Christ died for us. I'm going to focus on that this morning. Christ died for us. Four words. A lot of weight in those four words. The first being Christ. Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ was both man and God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is man, Christ is God. He emptied himself of the power and position he had as God when he came to this world. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He did not think it inappropriate to consider himself equal with God, but yet he emptied himself of that. He came in the form of a lowly man to die on the cross for us. And as we already saw, he died for us. Because we were sinners, he died for us. We think about the last part of the phrase, Christ died for us. It was for us. Why? Why for us? Because God loved us, as it was stated. God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us so that we could be redeemed, so that, as it says, we could be healed. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. We've been healed by his wounds. He died to sin so that we could live to righteousness. Otherwise, we would die to sin. We would be eternally separated from God. But he died for us. He gave us remission of sins because he died for us. And that last part, he died for us. He died because it was necessary. He died to bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He died for us, but it was not a simple death. It was an agonizing and shameful death. Consider the abuse and his personal agony before his death. The prayer in the garden when he agonized and prayed to his Father that if it were possible for the cup to pass. But knowing that it would not, he submitted to the will of his Father. Consider that he was betrayed by one who was close to him, by Judas. Consider that he knows that Peter was going to and did deny him after his arrest. And consider the humiliation of the mock trials that he went through. And then all that he suffered at the hands of the soldiers, leading up to his crucifixion, and as the painful death on the cross itself. Let's end with that this morning, Mark chapter 15. Let's read Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 16. Mark chapter 15. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed, and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him into the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, and he did not take it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And that is certainly true. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He died for us. And we now have this opportunity this morning, as with each first day of the week, to remember that great sacrifice and love that was demonstrated. And let's do that now at this time.